So you're looking out at your lawn here in Metro Vancouver, maybe picturing that really deep, vibrant green color, right?
The dream lawn.
Yes. But well, we all know the deal here. Our weather, it can be a bit, well, enthusiastic. Lots of rain.
Definitely. It presents some unique
So
challenges.
how do you actually make that dream lawn happen? You know, with all this rain, our specific kind of soil. Let's unpack that.
Sounds good.
Today we're diving deep into a really useful guide that's specifically for Metro Vancouver homeowners. We're pulling out the smart stuff, the key things you need to know to get that lush lawn.
And what's great is that this isn't just, generic advice you could find anywhere.
No, exactly.
This guide is really laser focused on the specific challenges, but also the opportunities we have right here in this region.
Exactly. Think of this as your shortcut, your guide to a lawn that doesn't just look good, but can actually, handle everything our climate throws at it all year round. So, our mission today, we want to break down the four core strategies this guide highlights. It's about mowing smarter, feeding your lawn effectively, tackling weeds and pests the right way for here, and knowing what to do each season.
And really, it's about working with our environment, wouldn't you say? Not fighting against it.
That's a great way to put it.
A healthy lawn here is naturally a more resilient lawn.
Okay, so let's get started. First up, something that seems super basic, mowing. We all do it.
Right. But doing it right here is different.
Yeah, this guide has some really smart angles for the Pacific Northwest. Top of the list, the 6 to 8 centimeter rule.
Okay, so mowing taller, why is that so important?
Well, the guide points out that keeping your grass in that range, roughly 2.5 to 3 inches, it encourages the roots to grow deeper, stronger.
Ah, okay. So more grass up top means more root structure down below.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a game changer for the overall health of your lawn.
Makes sense. Those deeper roots can find water and nutrients further down, right? Which
Yeah.
is crucial for surviving those drier spells we sometimes get, even here.
Totally. And get this, the taller grass also shades the soil.
Oh, interesting. Like a natural mulch.
Yeah. It acts like a sunscreen for your soil, keeping moisture in. That's a huge win, especially during summer. Plus, it actually makes it harder for certain weed seeds, the sun-loving ones, to sprout.
So it's like a double benefit. Better water retention and weed
A
suppression.
double bonus. And it all adds up to better drought resistance and just a healthier, more vigorous lawn.
It really shows how mowing isn't just a chore, is it? It's like fundamental lawn health.
Right. And the guide builds on this immediately with another key rule, the one-third rule.
Yes, never remove more than one-third of the blade height at once.
Sounds simple, but why is that so critical?
Well, the guide explains that cutting off too much really stresses the grass plant. A lot.
Okay, and that stress makes it weaker.
Yeah, more vulnerable to all sorts of problems, pests, diseases, you name it. It just can't bounce back as easily.
Like giving it a bad haircut, it takes time to recover.
Exactly. So how often you mow needs to adapt. Faster growth in spring means more frequent mowing.
Right, and slower growth in summer or cooler times means you can ease up a bit.
Makes sense.
Now, let's talk tools. Your mower blades. The guide says sharp blades are essential.
Oh, absolutely non-negotiable. There's a very good reason for that. A clean cut heals quickly.
Right, like a clean slice versus a ragged tear. So faster healing means less water loss.
And fewer entry points for diseases. But on blades, they shred the grass.
Shred it. That sounds bad.
It is. Leaves those ragged edges that heal slowly, makes the grass much more vulnerable to stress and infection.
So the recommendation is.
Sharpen them at least once a year. Ideally, in the spring before the main growing season starts. It's a small effort with a big payoff.
Okay, so mow high, follow the one-third rule, use sharp blades. What about the clippings? Should you bag them or leave them?
This guide is a big fan of grass cycling, leaving the clippings on the lawn.
Right, because they're not waste, are they?
Not at all. They're like free fertilizer. They break down quickly, returning nitrogen and other nutrients right back to the soil.
A natural slow-release fertilizer built right in.
Exactly. Which means you might need less supplemental fertilizer. Better for your wallet, better for the environment. Plus, it helps build healthier soil overall.
Okay, but are there times you should bag them?
Yes, the guide mentions a couple of exceptions. If the grass was really wet when you mowed, or if the clippings are super long and clumping up.
Like forming thick mats.
Yeah, if they're thicker than about half a centimeter, they can smother the grass below. So in those cases, it's better to rake them up or bag them. Otherwise, let them be.
Got it. Now, here's something simple the guide mentions. Varying your mowing pattern.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Seems minor, but it helps.
How so?
Well, if you always mow in the exact same tracks, the wheels can compact the soil in those lines over time.
Like creating little ruts.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Alternating your patterns, say, north-south 1 week, east-west the next, prevents that compaction. It keeps the soil looser, better for air and water.
And it stops the grass blades from all leaning one way, right? So you get a more even cut.
Yep. Promotes upright growth and reduces wear and tear. Simple, but effective.
Okay, so we've covered a lot on mowing. How does doing all this correctly link back to preventing weeds and pests?
This is where it all ties together. The guide really emphasizes that these good mowing practices are your first line of defense.
How so?
Well, think about it. Deeper roots from taller mowing mean the grass is stronger, better at competing for water and nutrients. Weeds have a harder time getting established.
And the shade from the taller grass helps too, right?
Exactly. It hinders the germination of many weed seeds. And just generally, a thick, dense, vigorously growing lawn is simply less susceptible to the stresses that invite pests and diseases.
It's like building up the lawn's natural immunity.
Perfectly put. And the bonus is, it reduces your potential need for chemical treatments, which, as the guide points out, is important considering local pesticide regulations here in Metro Vancouver.
Makes total sense. Okay, let's shift gears to feeding the lawn fertilization. Our climate here definitely adds some quirks.
Yeah, the guide immediately points to our high rainfall as a key factor.
All that rain. It's great for green, but it can wash away essential nutrients, can it? Especially nitrogen.
It absolutely can leach nitrogen right out of the soil profile. Plus, our soils here often tend to be naturally a bit on the acidic side.
So you can't just grab any fertilizer bag off the shelf and expect miracles.
Definitely not. Choosing the right kind is crucial. The guide recommends looking for balanced fertilizers. You often see those NPK numbers.
Right, the three numbers, like 3, 1, 2.
Exactly. N for nitrogen, that's for green, leafy growth.
Right.
P for phosphorus, good for root development. And K for potassium, that helps with overall plant health, stress resistance, that sort of thing. A 3-1-2 ratio is often a good starting point for our region.
And the guide puts a big emphasis on slow-release nitrogen, doesn't it?
It really does. And for good reason in our rainy climate.
Why is slow release so much better here?
Well, it feeds the lawn steadily over time, rather than giving it one big jolt. This reduces the risk of burning the lawn.
Okay.
But crucially, it also minimizes the amount of nitrogen that gets washed away, leached out by the rain, or runs off into waterways. It's much more efficient and environmentally sound here.
Right, a steady supply that the grass can actually use. The guide also seems keen on organic options, like compost.
Oh, absolutely. Things like compost, properly composted manure. They don't just feed the grass. They actually improve the soil itself.
How do they do that?
They improve the structure, help it hold water better, increase drainage where needed, and feed all the beneficial microbes in the soil. It's about building long-term soil health.
So compost is generally a good thing to add.
Yes. The guide suggests you can top dress with a thin layer pretty much any time, especially after aerating. But it does add a note of caution about using raw or improperly composted manure.
Why is that?
It can sometimes be too hot, too much nitrogen at once, or might contain weed seeds or pathogens. So stick to well-composted sources.
Good tip. Okay, so we've got the what. What about the when? Yeah. Timing for fertilizer application is key too, right?
Timing is everything. You want to feed the lawn when it can actually use the nutrients effectively.
So what's the recommended schedule for Metro Vancouver according to this guide?
It suggests a few key times. Mid to late spring, say around May, when growth really takes off. Avoid going too early.
Okay.
Then, maybe early summer, late June, to sustain it before potential summer stress hits.
Right.
Then, early fall, September is crucial. This helps the lawn recover from summer and builds roots for the winter.
Okay. Fall feeding is important.
Very. And potentially one more late fall application, maybe early November. This provides stored energy for winter survival and encourages early green up next spring.
Got it. And the guide warns against heavy fertilizing in peak summer heat, right?
Yes. Definitely avoid that. The grass is often stressed then anyway. Oh, and a practical tip. Always apply fertilizer evenly to dry grass blades and then water it in well afterwards.
Good advice. Mm. Now, let's talk moss, that other green carpet we often see around here.
Ah, moss. The bane of many Vancouver lawns. It loves our conditions.
Why does it thrive so well here?
The guide explains it's partly linked back to that high rainfall leaching calcium from the soil. This makes the soil more acidic, and moss just loves acidic soil. It also likes shade and compacted, poorly drained areas.
So the solution often involves lime.
Exactly. Applying lime, which is usually ground limestone, helps raise the soil pH, making it less acidic and therefore less hospitable for moss and better for grass growth.
But you shouldn't just throw lime down without checking, should you?
No, definitely not. The guide strongly recommends getting a soil test first. You can use DIY kits or send a sample to a lab. You want to know your starting pH.
What's the target pH range?
Aiming for somewhere between 6.0 and 7.0 is generally ideal for lawn grasses here.
And when's the best time to apply lime if you need it?
The cooler, wetter months are best, so early spring or fall. The moisture helps the lime break down and work into the soil.
Okay. And finally, on fertilizing, the guide circles back to sustainability, right? It's about balance.
Yeah, it cautions against the more is better approach. Over-fertilizing, especially with those quick-release, high-nitrogen products, can actually cause problems.
Like what?
It can lead to weak, susceptible growth, encourage certain diseases, contribute to thatch buildup, and, well, just mean you have to mow more often.
Right, so the message is...
Focus on those slow-release options, nail the timing, use compost to build soil health for the long haul, and don't forget to address soil acidity with lime if needed. It's about creating that healthy foundation.
Makes sense. Okay, foundation laid. Let's move on to dealing with the inevitable weeds and pests. The guide's main point here seems to be prevention first.
Absolutely. A dense, healthy, vigorously growing lawn is by far your best defense. It simply outcompetes most weeds and is less attractive to pests.
So all the stuff we just talked about, mowing high, fertilizing, healthy soil, that's step one for weed control.
Exactly. It minimizes the opportunities for weeds and pests to get a foothold. But let's be real, some issues are likely to pop up. The guide helps identify the usual suspects here in Metro Vancouver.
Yeah, let's name names. We've got creeping buttercup, right? Those glossy yellow flowers. Loves wet spots.
Mm-hmm. Thrives in wet, acidic, poorly drained soil. Then there's white clover.
The three leaf, sometimes four. Classic. Often a sign of low nitrogen, the guide says.
It can be, yes. And it spreads pretty aggressively. And of course, dandelions.
Can't forget dandelions. Bright yellow flowers, deep taproot, those puffball seeds that go everywhere. Very resilient.
And moss, which we've already covered, is technically a weed in lawns, too, choking out grass.
The guide also mentions others like plantain, different kinds of thistles, crabgrass, bittercress.
Right. And it briefly notes invasive species like Japanese knotweed, though they usually invade from outside the lawn area.
Okay, so that's the weeds. What about the main pest threat?
The big one here is the European chafer beetle grub. Those C-shaped white grubs that munch on grass roots.
Yeah, you usually know you have them when the turf feels spongy and critters start digging up your lawn in the fall or spring to eat them.
Exactly. Crows, raccoons, skunks,
yeah,
they love them.
So how does the guide suggest we manage all these? It talks about an integrated strategy.
Yeah, integrated weed management, or IPM for pests. It's about using multiple tactics, not just reaching for a spray bottle first.
So starting with?
Cultural controls.
Mm.
That means fixing the underlying conditions that favor the weed. Improving drainage if you have buttercup or moss. Checking nitrogen levels if clover is taking over. Mowing high, like we discussed. Overseeding bare patches so weeds can't move in.
Makes sense. Address the cause, not just the symptom. What's next?
Manual removal. Good old-fashioned hand pulling or digging.
Especially for things like dandelions with that long root.
Absolutely. Best done when the soil is moist, makes it easier to get the whole root out. If you leave pieces behind, they can regrow.
Okay, cultural, manual.
Mm.
Then what about treatments? The guide seems cautious, especially with local rules.
Very cautious, and rightly so. Chemical control should be a last resort, used selectively and responsibly. The guide specifically highlights the City of Vancouver's health bylaw, restricting cosmetic pesticide use.
Right. Banning common ingredients found in many traditional weed and feed products like 2,4-D, Mecoprop, Dicamba, glyphosate.
Exactly. And it stresses that you must check the specific bylaws in your own municipality, as rules vary across Metro Vancouver.
So if you do need to use something, what are the options?
Well, for preventing annual weeds like crabgrass, you might consider a pre-emergent herbicide applied in early spring, around when forsythia blooms. For existing broadleaf weeds, a post-emergent herbicide applied when they're actively growing can work.
But the key is?
Always. Always read and follow the label instructions precisely. Use the right product for the specific weed, apply it correctly, and dispose of unused product in containers at designated hazardous waste depots. Never down the drain or in regular garbage.
Okay, responsible use is paramount. Now let's zoom in on those chafer beetles. They're a major headache. What's the recommended strategy?
The guide is very clear on this.
Yeah.
Beneficial nematodes are the way to go here, specifically Heterohabditis bacteriophora.
Those microscopic worms we talked about?
Yes. They actively hunt down and kill the chafer grubs in the soil. It's the most effective and environmentally sound method available to homeowners locally. But timing is absolutely critical.
Okay, what's the magic window?
Late July to mid-August. That cannot be stressed enough. That's when the new generation of grubs are young, small, and most vulnerable to the nematodes.
And applying them requires specific conditions, right?
Yes, the soil needs to be consistently moist, not soaking wet, but definitely damp before, during, and for a week or two after application. The nematodes need that moisture to survive and move through the soil to find the grubs. Watering is key.
So late July, mid-August, moist soil. Anything else for chafers?
Maintaining that healthy, dense lawn helps. Some turf blends might be slightly more resistant. And importantly, the guide reiterates that chemical pesticides for chafer control are restricted or prohibited in many, if not most, Metro Vancouver municipalities. Nematodes are really the recommended approach.
So the big picture for weeds and pests here is prevention through healthy practices. Understand your local conditions and rules. Use manual methods first, and if you need treatments, choose wisely, time it right, and follow regulations.
That sums it up perfectly. It's very much about a localized, informed approach.
Okay, great. We've got the what and the why. Now let's put it all together across the year. The guide provides a seasonal calendar specifically for Metro Vancouver lawns.
Yeah, this is super helpful because lawn care isn't static.
Yeah.
It changes with the seasons. It starts naturally with the spring refresh. From March through May.
Okay, spring checklist time. What's first?
Clean up. Rake up any leftover leaves, twigs, winter debris. Get the lawn clear.
Then?
Check for thatch buildup. If that layer of dead grass and roots at the soil surface is thicker than, say, 1 to 1.5 centimeters, about half an inch or so early spring is a good time to dethatch.
And aeration.
Spring is prime time for core aeration, especially if you have compacted soil from heavy use or clay content. It opens up the soil.
Good time to overseed, too.
Ideal time, especially right after aerating. Fill in any thin or bare patches. The guide suggests considering drought-tolerant or endophyte-enhanced seed mixes suitable for our area.
Okay, clean up, maybe dethatch, aerate, overseed. What about feeding?
First fertilization happens once the grass is actively growing, usually around May. Use a spring-specific formula, and if your soil test showed you need lime, apply that earlier in the spring.
And weeds.
For annual weeds like crabgrass, that pre-emergent application goes down early when the forsythia blooms. Keep an eye out for perennial weeds starting to pop up.
Got it. Spring is busy, then comes summer, June to August. What's the focus?
Summer strategy is more about maintenance and being water-wise. Keep mowing at that 68 centimeter height. If it gets really hot and dry and you're not irrigating, growth might slow, so you might mow less often.
Watering is key in summer. What's the advice?
Water wisely. The goal is about 2.5 centimeters or 1 inch per week, including any rain. Water deeply and infrequently to encourage deep roots. Early morning between 5 and 9 a.m. is best to minimize evaporation and allow leaves to dry.
And follow the rules.
Absolutely. Strictly adhere to Metro Vancouver's watering restrictions, which typically run from May 1st to October 15th, with specific days and times allowed based on your address.
What about letting lawns go dormant?
The guide mentions that for cool season grasses, allowing them to go dormant during prolonged heat is an option. They'll turn brown, but aren't dead. You just give them a deep watering maybe once a month to keep the crowns alive. Avoid heavy foot traffic on dormant turf.
Okay. What else for summer? Weeds? Pests?
Keep an eye on weeds, manual removal, or spot treatments. And late summer is when you start watching for signs of chafer grub damage, yellowing patches, turf lifting easily. If you see that, get ready to apply nematodes in that late July to mid-August window.
Fertilizing in summer.
Generally avoid heavy applications in peak heat. A very light feeding with a slow-release product might be okay if needed, but usually it's best to wait until fall.
Right. Summer's about careful management and water conservation. Then we move into the fall wind-down, September through November.
Fall is a really critical recovery and preparation period. First, keep up with leaf removal. Don't let leaves smother the grass.
Keep mowing.
Yep, continue mowing as needed while the grass is growing, maintaining that 6 to 8 centimeter height for the final cut.
Is fall a good time for aeration and overseeding again?
It's arguably the best time here in Metro Vancouver. Cooler temperatures, more reliable moisture. It's ideal for seed germination and root establishment before winter.
And fertilization.
Definitely apply a fall-specific fertilizer in September or early October. These usually have higher potassium to boost root growth and winter hardiness. That optional late fall application around early November gives it a final nutrient boost.
Weed control in fall.
Very effective time, especially for perennial broadleaf weeds like dandelions. They're pulling energy down to their roots then, so they absorb herbicides more effectively.
Lime application.
Fall is another good window if your soil test indicates a need.
Anything else for fall prep?
Ensure good drainage heading into our wet winter. Fix any low spots. Do a final cleanup. And don't forget to winterize your irrigation system before freezing temperatures hit.
Wow, okay. So it really is a year-round commitment, adapting to each season's needs here. The guide's checklist sounds super useful.
It is. It helps keep you on track.
Now, stepping back from the seasonal tasks, the guide also really emphasizes some foundational elements that elevate your whole lawn game, right? Soil health and smart watering.
Absolutely. These are the bedrock. Healthy soil is everything. Good structure, nutrient holding, water retention, aeration. It all starts there.
So how do we build healthy soil according to the guide?
Regular core aeration is key. Especially in our often compacted soils. It relieves compaction, lets air, water, and nutrients penetrate down to the roots.
And dethatching.
Only if needed. If that thatch layer gets too thick over that 1.5 centimeter mark, it can block essentials. But healthy soil with active microbes actually helps break down thatch naturally.
And the guide loves compost for soil health, right?
Big time. Top dressing with a thin layer of compost, especially after aeration, is fantastic. It adds organic matter, improves soil structure, both drainage in heavy soils and water retention in sandy soils, and feeds those beneficial soil microbes. Compost is like a superfood for your lawn soil.
Okay, healthy soil is the base. What about summarizing the watering wisdom?
It really boils down to being effective and resource conscious.
So the key principles are?
Deep and infrequent watering. Encourage those deep roots. Aim for that 1 inch per week total and use a simple tuna can to measure your sprinkler output.
Morning watering is best.
Yes. Early morning minimizes evaporation and wind loss and lets the grass blades dry during the day, reducing the risk of fungal diseases.
And know the rules.
Crucial. Always follow the Metro Vancouver watering restrictions. They're there for a reason.
But don't just water automatically.
Right. Observe your lawn. Water based on need, not just a fixed schedule. Look for the signs that slight bluish-gray color. Footprints that stay indented for a while. Those tell you the grass is thirsty.
So it all connects. Healthy soil, smart watering, they create that strong foundation.
Exactly. And a lawn with a strong foundation is naturally more resilient, less prone to problems, and reduces the need for reactive, quick-fix treatments. It's a more sustainable, proactive approach.
So there you have it, that stunning lawn in Metro Vancouver. It's not some impossible dream.
Not at all.
This deep dive really shows that it's achievable. It just takes a consistent, knowledgeable, and tailored approach for our specific region.
Yeah, understanding the why behind the recommendations makes a big difference.
We've covered the key pillars: mowing smart, feeding right, including liming, managing weeds and pests responsibly with local rules in mind, staying on top of seasonal tasks, and really focusing on that foundation of soil health and wise watering.
It's fascinating how interconnected it all is, isn't it? Proper mowing helps root development, which improves drought tolerance and nutrient uptake, which helps outcompete weeds. It all works together.
It really does. It all comes back to working with, not against, our unique Pacific Northwest conditions. So for you listening, as you look out at your own lawn, maybe just take a moment. Think about how applying some of these fundamental practices could help create a space that's not only greener, but also more resilient, more enjoyable.
Yeah.
And maybe just pick one specific tip or idea from our deep dive today that you think, okay, I can start with that.
Small steps can make a big difference over time.
Absolutely. Here's to greener, healthier lawns right here in Metro Vancouver.